He sees that seventh time a little cloud, and he comes back and says, I see a cloud. God's answered the prayer. And Elijah says, quick, warn the king, it's going to storm. And God answered after seven prayers, seven times. You know, in the New Testament, even Jesus Christ himself, reading through in the book of Matthew, we sung about that, Jesus praying for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as you read through that, it says that Jesus prayed three times, right? He would pray and then come and the disciples were asleep, and then he'd go and pray some more and the disciples fell asleep again, and then he goes the third time. And the Bible says there that he said the same things to God three times. Why would Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, why would he need to say the same thing to his God the Father three times? If not that we know that in all things, Christ was an example to us, and that persisting in prayer, he knew God's will be done. He knew what God desired of him, and yet he prayed three times. And in that sense, God didn't answer his prayer in the sense of taking that cup from him. God answered the prayer by his will being done. And Jesus Christ prayed three times. And you know, many times for you and I, we pray, but then we kind of give up after a single prayer. I've prayed for that, it's done, it's gone, and we let it go. And God wants us to persist in praying. And we do that by continuing to come. Now, it's not a vain repetition and just praying a list over and over and over again. It's an earnest seeking of God for his answer. God promised he will answer our prayers. As Isaiah 33:3 tells us, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hudson Taylor said that's a challenge from God to us if we're going to take him up on that. He said, if you call unto me, I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. And if I don't see great and mighty things taking place in my life, maybe I'm not asking God for them. And so we want to continue to seek and to ask God by persevering or continuing in prayer. And our second lesson on prayer is found in Luke 11. So if you turn back a couple pages to Luke 11, we'll see another lesson here on praying. In Luke 11, the disciples have come to Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how we can pray as well? And he gives them the model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, and teaches them a way that they can pray and some of the things that they can ask for. But then right after that, he gives them this lesson. And look in Luke 11, picking up in verse number 5, just after he has taught them that example prayer. Verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer thee, and say, trouble me not, the door is shut, my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, kind of that, he's still there banging on the door at midnight, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and to him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then verses 11 through 13, he talks about, as a child that asks of the parents something, the parent will give them what they've asked, right? He said, if a boy asks his dad for an egg, is he going to give him a snake or a rock instead? He said, no, if you who are sinful, evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does God want to give good gifts in answer to our prayers? And so Jesus teaching the lesson there, and we'll really focus in on verse number 9, where Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Now, in our praying, are we asking, seeking, and knocking on, so to speak, on the throne of heaven? And it's not us a thing, say, to try to get God's attention, but it's really a lesson on God tuning our hearts to receive his answer. Jesus promised in John 14, verse 13 and 14, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." If we are asking, asking means coming in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, a name is what is consistent with his character. You know, if we are seeking God, if we are asking in the name of Jesus Christ, we cannot ask something in the name of Jesus Christ that goes contrary to what Jesus would desire, to what he would do, to what would give glory to him and to God through him. And so when we ask, we want to really kind of bring our request through an evaluation process. Is what I am asking for, is what I am requesting of God, is it for God? Is it for God's glory, or is it somehow for me? I've prayed a lot of selfish prayers growing up. I've prayed a lot of prayers. God, help me pass this spelling test that I didn't study for. God, help me to, and we ask these things for me alone. I don't think, well, God, you know, I'm sure you'd be glorified by a missionary that can spell right on his prayer letters. And I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, I want the piece of candy for a good grade, or I don't want to get in trouble for bad grade, or I don't want to look foolish in front of people if I can't spell. You know, that type of thing. I wasn't thinking God's glory. And are we going to ask in God's name and consistent with his character? Now, if I had studied, that might be a different question as well, right? God, I've studied. I'm seeking to do well, to please you with my abilities. Help me to do well on this, to please you, and I can be consistent with God's character so that I can glorify you in doing this. If I pass that test, it's definitely not me. It's God. And can say that confidently. So when we ask, we want to be consistent with God's name. Philip Brooks said that prayer is not, it's not overcoming God's reluctance, it's laying hold of his highest willingness. And persistence in prayer isn't an attempt to change God's mind. We're saying, "Thy will be done," but it's an attempt to get ourselves to the place that God can trust us with the answer. As we ask, God begins to do a work in our hearts to prepare us for his answer. And as the Bible says, many times we have not because we ask not. And so prayer begins with asking, bringing our requests to God. What are the results then of asking? As I was kind of thinking through, there are several ways God will respond when we ask. Number one, when we ask, sometimes we ask and we receive an immediate answer. The instant answer. God says in Psalm 38:3, "In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul." Immediate answer. David cried to God and God answered him. Elijah prayed for fire, God answered him. Sometimes God answers immediately. An instant answer where God says yes. Sometimes we get an instant answer and we know that's a no. God puts on our hearts, he reveals, maybe it comes up, "Oh, I know that's a selfish request. Well, God, I prayed this, but I know you're reminding me I didn't study for this." That's a no. And God gives an instant answer, no. But many times our answer kind of falls into the third option, and that's no answer yet. And we call that sometimes a wait. And God says, "I haven't answered you just yet." But what do we do during the wait, the wait time period? You know, sometimes I thought, okay, I prayed, it's a wait, and I'll just keep waiting. But that's when we continue to seek God during that period of waiting. And seeking God, there from Luke 11, again, verse 9, "Seek and ye shall find." How do we seek God? Through prayer. What's amazing, as we come to God in prayer, how much begins to take place in our hearts. We seek God, we're seeking his answer, but do we start to dig into saying, "All right, well, God, why would God answer this? Why would he not answer this? Is there something in my life that could be hindering this? If I'm praying, I know God's promised to answer my prayers. If I don't have the answer yet, then there is a reason for that. And I want to seek that." And God begins to use this waiting time as an opportunity for us to seek him. And so what should we do during that seeking phase? Well, here's some things that we can do, and it's not to be an exhaustive list, just some thoughts that I've came through from God's word. But as we seek an answer to prayer, consider some of these questions, maybe as an evaluation. You know, firstly, is there something that God's leading me to do that I haven't done yet? I'm praying about this over here. I know, God, you want me to go witness to that person, or I know, God, you want me to change this area of my life. I know you want me to do this, whatever it might be. I know you want me to be more faithful in church, or, you know, there's something God's putting on my heart. I know this is of God. He's wanting me to do this, but I'm not doing that. But I'm asking God for these other things. And these are things I know God would want to answer, but is there something that I'm disregarding? You know, God's not going to continue to grow us and work through us when we're ignoring something clear that we know we ought to be doing for him. And so if God brings that to mind during our prayer time, best we ought to go back and take care of what we know we should do for him and then continue seeking him through prayer. Something else we can evaluate is, maybe am I ignoring a clear command in Scripture? Does the Bible say, you know, love your neighbor as yourself? And, well, I'm not doing that, or I'm holding a grudge right now, or maybe something that, as we've been teaching in our church, in Faith Baptist Church, is in the area of believers' baptism. And we have to be very clear and upfront that baptism is not what brings salvation. It has no part in your salvation, but it's a picture of what God has done for you. And it's an obedience. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so after one is saved, one should be baptized to publicly declare their place in Jesus Christ. And so there are some who say, well, I was baptized for thinking that it saved me, but now that I'm saved, I realize it doesn't save me. I don't need to be baptized. I mean, it's kind of inconvenient to show up in your Sunday clothes or to change and get soaking wet and do this and this. I don't need to be baptized. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And Jesus desires those who are saved to take that next step and to be baptized as he's leading in that. And so if that's something that we're ignoring, that might be something that God puts on our hearts in the time process of seeking him in prayer. And it could be another clear command that from God to me, God, I know this is a command of Scripture. I'm not doing it. Honor your father and mother. If I'm not honoring my parents, then I can't expect God to be answering my prayers when I'm ignoring the Scripture. And it's amazing how the Lord begins to work in our hearts through seeking. God, why didn't you answer that? I need this. I'm praying, right? We're urgent about this request. And that urgency God can use to show us how we need to grow spiritually. So am I disregarding Scripture? Another thing to consider is God resisting my pride? Am I praying, look, I'm going to pray and God's going to answer this. When God answers this, I'm going to call up my buddy and say, hey, I prayed for that. That's why God gave you that answer. And is there a pride in my life that hinders my prayer? Right? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And Psalm 138:6 tells us that though the Lord is high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. If you ever feel sometimes you're just so far off away from God in prayer, maybe there's some pride in our hearts that's keeping us distant from those answers God has for us. So it could be through our own pride or our own motivation for that prayer request. Maybe another one is there unconfessed sin in my life? Right? Psalm 66:18 says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, if as I'm praying, the Lord puts on my heart, and it's not a sinlessness. As we all come to the Lord and pray, we know we're unworthy. We know we're sinners. But is there something I'm holding on to? God, you know, I still enjoy doing this thing. I know it's wrong, but I'm not giving it up. It's you can have everything else, but I've got this thing, and I know it doesn't please you, but I'm going to hang on to that. But Lord, I am praying, pray for my neighbor to be saved. I know I want to be saved. I know you want him to be saved, but there's this sin in my life that I'm holding on to. Then God will not hear us in our prayer until we take care of that in our life. He's resisting because we're ignoring clear leading of God. And as we pray, he'll bring that to mind. We continue to seek him. Some other things to consider, we'll go through these more quickly. Just, is my request consistent or in agreement with Scripture? Is what I'm asking lining up with the Bible, what God does through Scripture, how God works, what God desires to do? If I'm praying for, you know, God to just, you know, send fire from heaven for me to start a fire in my backyard, is that consistent with how God works through Scripture? As much as I might desperately need that, God doesn't operate that way because he knows we have his word. We don't need to test God. In the New Testament, the scribes and Pharisees said, give us a sign. Oh, Jesus, we've heard about you. Do something amazing. Make fire, you know, fireworks or something. Show us. If you're the Son of God, then float in the air. And Jesus said, you won't be given any sign except for those in the book of Jonah. And he said, I'm going to die, be raised again the third day. And they went through that and they ignored it. And Jesus said, I'm going to work with those who are seeking me. And so is our request in agreement with Scripture? Am I waiting on God's timing? Sometimes what we want and we think it's right now, it's actually a little bit later. And God's timing is better than our timing. But we want to consistently seek him during that time period. Does God have a better plan? Might be something we consider as we seek. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he's serving God, he's a missionary, and some kind of infirmity in his flesh is hindering him from being a better servant for God. He prayed three times, God, it's a thorn in my flesh. Maybe it was poor eyesight. Maybe it was infirmity from the beatings that he'd received. Something was hindering his ability in his mind of presenting the gospel for God in a physical way. And he prayed three times, God, heal me of this. God, take this from me. God used Paul to heal other people. God, heal me. And God said no three times and then gave him the answer. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God says, Paul, I have something even better for you than healing. It's called my grace. And I can do through you in this state even more than if I were to remove that from you. And sometimes as we pray, God can tune our heart to recognize the answer that's already been given, but now he changes our perspective to that. So let's ask God for those things he puts on our hearts to ask him for. But then if we don't have an immediate answer, let's seek him. Continue asking God. Look at his word. Wrestle with that request to decide and determine what God is desiring to do. And then the third part is knocking, right? In Luke 11, verse 9, the end part of that verse says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Spiritually speaking, how do we knock, right? Even in that parable, Jesus said, though a friend come to his friend's house at midnight and knock on the door and say, hey, I need some bread, right? I don't know if you've ever had someone, you know, knock you awake at that time of night and ringing the doorbell now in our modern times, but It's trying to get the attention, right? It's a little bit more than just maybe you're saying, hey, I hope someone's there, or, you know, waving, but you're actually intentionally seeking the attention. And how do we do that through prayer? Well, here's some thoughts on that. And we know in God's word that he says that we ought to pray with other individuals. Praying with others. In Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus said, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And we have the blessing of brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus said, if two of you agree on anything on earth, I will do it for you. Now, obviously, that agreement still has to be in agreement with God's will and God's plan, but how powerful is that? How many do we have in the church this morning? We can pray and we can seek God, and if we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, desiring the same thing for God, we have God's attention, and we have God working on our behalf. And what a privilege and what a blessing. You know, when maybe it's a prayer request and we've been praying for some time and we say, Lord, I'm seeking you. Maybe God will put on your heart, why don't you tell your sister, your brother in Christ, why don't you tell the church about this? Church, would you pray with me on this matter? Pray for my cousin who needs to know Christ. Pray for this job. I've been trying to find a job. Pray that I will have God's direction in my life. As a young person, church, would you pray for me that I will know what God wants me to do in the future? And come together in agreement praying for that. And I believe that could be a form of knocking, an urgency of seeking God's answer to his request. You know, another way that we can knock is, I believe, by reminding God of his promises. God knows he promised it, but he wants us to remember that he has promised those things. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, Solomon reminds God of his promises, and he has this testimony to speak of after they've dedicated the temple. He says in 1 Kings 8, 56, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant." He said, God, not a single word of what you promised failed to be accomplished. And we can say the same. God, you've promised this. God promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is my helper. God, help me in this area. James, God promised in the book of James, if you lack wisdom, ask of me and I will give it to you liberally and abrade not. God, you promised to give wisdom if I'm asking of you. I'm seeking that promise. God, you promised if I come to you in faith in Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God promised eternal life. I'm trusting God on that promise. And so let's remind God of those promises. Another way we can knock as we are going and seeking the Lord's answer through prayer is in the area of fasting. Fasting is something that we see come up in the Bible. I don't see as much in our modern times. But a fasting is giving up of a need, a desire that we have, most specifically of food, for the purpose of seeking God's answer. You know, that's a way of knocking, of saying, I am serious about this. Have you ever, as a parent, maybe had a child ask you something? Say, Mom, Dad, I really want a puppy. I would love to have a puppy. If you would just give me a puppy for my birthday, that would be amazing. You know, they're 8 years old, and you're like, wow. But last week they asked me for a pony, so what are you going to do? You're going to wait, right, and kind of see, are they serious about this desire? And if, you know, they talked about the puppy and so urgently, and this is it, but then a week later you never hear anything else about the puppy, and now it's they want a jaguar or they want something else. You know, probably they're still going through. But a week later, Mom, Dad, I really desire a puppy. Is there a way I could get a job? I could help pay for it? And they're continuing on. And they're showing that urgency. Well, sometimes God wants us to show our urgency to him. And a way we can do that is say, God, I'm seeking you. This is more important to me than my food, even than my daily bread. God, I'm setting this aside, a desire of mine and a true physical need for your will and your answer. And God works as we seek him. And that urgency helps us to determine the seriousness for the Lord. Are you willing to go without some food so that a neighbor would come to Jesus Christ as Savior? Are you willing to seek God urgently and knock at the throne of heaven as we pray? And fasting can be a way that we do that. And so some ideas for asking, for seeking, for knocking. As we do that, though, knocking is not selfish. There's some ways not to, right? You know, I've had someone knock on our door before, and we shouldn't knock in the sense of pride, right? We're pounding on the door. Hey, God, it's me. It's Jonathan Schertzer. You know, remember me? I'm in Belize. I'm one of your servants. Like, it's not Kyle. It's Jonathan. So answer me, right? And there's a pride that involves. God's going to resist that pride. I'm not knocking. Hey, you need to answer me. God doesn't work that way. God wants us to depend on him, not to demand, and not to be proud in our, so to speak, banging on the door there in heaven. And then it's not in anger. It's not saying, hey, come on, I know you're up there. Answer me now. And some people, we kind of become can become bitter at God if we're praying and our prayers seek, or our prayers lose that dependence and that humble submission to God's will, and they turn to a demand. God, this is the answer I want. This is the way I want the answer, and this is when I want it. And if you don't answer me that way, I'm going to walk away from you. And I've talked to people who are bitter against God because they believe God denied them what they want. Only if they would realize that God gives us every good and every perfect gift. If God denies me something, it's for my good. And yet sometimes we can become angry and we're demanding our request when it's something that would be harmful or wrong or not in the will of God to begin with. So don't be knocking in anger or in pride. And then sometimes we tend to maybe try to knock almost in a presumptuous way. I know I've been guilty of this before in my past as well, where I say, all right, God, hey, I'm praying. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I know you want to answer, so I'm just going to stay here and answer me. Answer me. I'm gonna pray, and well, God knows that I'm going to get sleepy or things are going to happen, and he's going to win out. I can't just make God answer my prayers. And as we seek God, God will bring us to mind. He uses his scripture through the leading of the Holy Spirit to put us in that place to be able to receive his answer. And so we want to ask of God. We want to persevere. We want to continue. That means not giving up, but doing what God desires us to do. And by asking him for his request, seeking him in those periods of waiting, and then knocking. If this is an urgent request, we ought to be urgent in our results for it. Jesus prayed in the garden until he sweat drops of blood. He was urgently praying. I read about the missionary to the Native American Indians in the U.S., David Brainerd. He died, I can't remember the disease, but yellow fever, malaria, something like that, as a young man, about my age, in his early 30s. And yet, in his journals, he wrote about one morning, he said, I had a powerful time of prayer today. It was a wonderful prayer. I prayed until I was hot and wet with sweat because I was seeking God's answer. You know, reading about that, I think, man, I prayed until I fell asleep sometimes, but I haven't prayed with that fervency of just to start urgently contending for God's will in this world and in our lives. And I think we need more of that. We need Christians who don't fall asleep while praying. We need Christians who start up a good sweat in praying and an urgency. And like some of those pastors who are more, you know, fire and brimstone, they have energy and they're working up a good sweat and preaching God's word. But how much more powerful could we be if we worked up a passion and a fire for God in our prayers to seek him? So let's seek God and go forward on our knees and see what God will do as he answers us and shows us great and mighty things which we know not. And then finally, as we close, our third principle, our third lesson for going forward on our knees is the foundation of prayer. And all of prayer is built on that foundation of faith. The Bible says we pray, and when we pray, if we ask, nothing wavering, not doubting, God will answer our prayers. You know, our spiritual growth, our life with God is founded on faith. We're saved by faith. Romans 1 says we live by faith. 2 Corinthians says we walk by faith. And Hebrews says we cannot please God without faith. And so faith is the foundation upon which our prayers go to the Lord. If we don't expect God to answer, we don't believe he can answer, we aren't sure, we're doubting God, why would we ask him? We must have faith in God. We have testimonies. I love reading the biographies of other servants of God. And one of my favorite things is to see God answering prayer. And why is it? Sometimes it's because I lack the faith that God would do that in my life. God, they prayed for this wonderful, amazing thing, and it happened. God, they prayed for provision, and you provided in a miraculous way. Has God stopped answering prayers? He doesn't ever stop. And it must be that I've stopped praying how I should. And we want to go back to God's word. Let's seek God urgently and let's pray in faith. And it will be incredible what God will do, begin to do through a few people who pray solidly, asking God in faith, seeking God. All right, he hasn't given the answer. Well, let's seek him. Let's continue to pray. Let's get some friends together. Let's ask God to work, and then let's wait for those great and mighty things and not be surprised when they do happen. And so let's be men and women of prayer. Let's not fall into the trap of science and rationalism. Oh, God can't work that way. Oh, God wouldn't do that. But let's say, my God answers prayers, great and mighty ways, which I know not, and I'm looking for that, and I won't be surprised when it comes. So let's go forward on our knees. Let's pray. Dear God, we love you. Lord, thank you that we can bow our knee to a holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present Father God who loves his children, who desires to give good gifts to his children, who leads us in the way of righteousness, who leads us in your will. God, may we seek you for more than just our daily bread and our needs, but may we seek you for also for the souls of others in this world. Lord, may we seek you for your glory to be known in this country and in the world. God, may we seek you for our life, our needs, our concerns, and Lord, may we grow as we talk to you in prayer. Lord, I thank you for every man and every woman and child in this church, and all of us have a voice to come and talk to you. Lord, may we use that privilege. May we boldly come and seek you in prayer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're dismissed.